I think we're on. Yeah, we're on. All right, good evening, everyone. All right, turn, if you use the songbook, we're going to start with page number 141. 141. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. 141. All right, here we go. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. Heavenly Father, we appreciate you. We love you, adore you, we bow. Song is 163. His name is wonderful. Here we go. We'll sing it one time.
His name is wonderful.
Before our opening prayer will be Thomas' song. Thomas' song, here we go.
Jesus, you are all to me. Why did you die on Calvary? O Lamb of God, I fail. Again,
Father, we are so ignorant. Father, we don't even know how our world really works. We can't even really define what time is. Father, there's so much of this universe that we have not explored, so much even on this earth that we've not explored. And yet, Father, you sometimes pull back the curtain and you show us a glimpse of heaven. And Father, sometimes you pull back the curtain and allow us to see part of your plan. And Father, it confuses us. And Father, we experience pain here on earth that we know was never your original intention. And Father, that puzzles us, it hurts us. And Father, we look in the scriptures and we read it and we try to understand it and we try to live like your son. But again, Father, there's just so many things that are bewildering. And yet in all this, Father, I pray that you will help us to have faith. Father, we may not know all the intricacies. We may not understand exactly why seasons change, why it rains when it does, or why a seed grows the way that it does. But Father, we know that you're in control over every atom in this universe. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to keep you high and exalted in our minds, in the rightful place that you are. Father, we appreciate your son humbling himself to show us the way, to show us a glimpse of you, to show you in the flesh. And again, Father, I pray that you will help us to have faith in him. Help us to have faith in the work of your spirit, because again, Father, there are just so many things that bewilder us. Us being able to even have this conversation with you, a divine being who transcends time and space, and yet you are willing to hear us. And Father, that is humbling. And so, Father, we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the privilege to worship you. And Father, I pray that you will increase our faith every day. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.
All right, if you're using the hymn book, the song of encouragement will be number 904. 904. Before the scripture reading and the sermon tonight, let's stand and sing number 490. 490, it is well with my soul.
Oh,
There will be a children's story time tonight, so time to exit for the children to go to that right now. The scripture reading is from Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 11. I will be reading from the English Standard Version, Deuteronomy 7, 9 through 11. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repays to their face those who hate him by destroying them. He will not be slack with one who hates him. He will repay him to his face. You shall therefore be careful to do the commandment and the statutes and the rules that I command you today.
Good evening. Good to see each of you with us this evening. Glad that you're here. Hope you've had a good day. It's been a beautiful day and a little chilly, but it's springtime, so we're very thankful for what we've got. If you're visiting with us, we're thankful you're here with us, and let us know how we can help you, if we can be of help in any way. And all of you online, we're so glad that you're joining us as well. We're here, of course, to worship God and to learn new ways or better ways to go about our lives. And so let's get into his word right now. Get your Bible out, and I hope you'll be following along with me as I go through these various scriptures. You know very well that along the highways and the streets that we drive, there are signs. And those signs are there for a lot of reasons, sometimes for directions, but sometimes for warnings. It may be a speed sign, it may be a curve ahead sign, it may be a railroad crossing ahead or a children area where there are children. And usually those are marked with yellow just to get our attention a little better. Well, do we pay attention? That's the question. And, you know, I think generally we do. But have we noticed that in Scripture that God has placed signs, caution signs, you might say, for us as we travel through life? There are concepts, there are activities that God warns us about. He says, pay attention and you'll have a better life. But often we don't pay attention. We don't listen and follow what God has given us. Here's an interesting scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, and some of you already know what it is. It's one of our favorite passages when it comes to hard questions. And we'll go to this, and here's what it says. Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. And we say, look, you know, not everything has been made known. Some things are still a secret. And so it's not possible for us to know all the questions, all the answers that we have. But he goes on with more information there. He says the things that are revealed to us, that are revealed, belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. And that's talking about what we have in the Bible. God has given those things to us. Why? So that we may do the things of the law. And that's important for us to know. We talked about it this morning, how that is what God expects of us, is to know the Word of God and to do the Word of God. But tonight I want us to talk about this idea that is very specific, and that is be careful. Be careful. There are warnings in God's word to be careful. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1. And this is just one example of several that we could mention. We won't mention several, but let's look at a few. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 1. Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the rules that I speak in your hearing today, and you shall learn them and be careful to do them." And be careful to do them. The idea there is pay attention. Give heed to what I'm saying here. This phrase, be careful, is translated from a Hebrew word, shamar. It is found a few hundred times in the Old Testament. In 35 of those cases, in the English Standard Version, it is translated as "be careful." 27 other times, it is translated as "take care," which is a very similar idea. But it occurs to me that when God repeats this over and over again, there's a message that we need to receive, and that is that what God has given us, be careful. Be careful with how you handle this, and before you disregard it or dismiss it from your mind, be careful. Let's look at a few other instances of this word in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 5 again, look at verse 32. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 32. Where God says, "You shall be careful, therefore, you shall be careful, therefore, to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." And here he uses imagery to impress on us the idea even more. God has given us a path. We're not to stray from that path. If you've ever done any hiking, like on the Appalachian Trail, you may see signs here and there that say, "Stay on the trail." And the idea is, it's tempting to take that shortcut, but in the process, you're causing erosion. The trail is going to be worse for it. So stay on the trail. Well, that's what God is saying here. I've given you a path to take through life. Stay on it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Stay on that path all the way. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3. Again, this phrase, "be careful." Deuteronomy 6 and verse 3. "Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey." And there again, you see the idea is good things are going to come to you if you are careful, careful to do the things that I've given you. And that tells us much about God himself. God has revealed what he has revealed because he loves us, because he wants us to have the best of life. And here he says, it will even affect your descendants after you. So be careful to do the things that I'm giving you because they will bless your life. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32, where the Lord, or Moses says, on behalf of the Lord, "Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take from it." And there again, a very similar idea to not going to the right or to the left. Keep it just like I've given it to you. Don't take anything away. Don't add anything to it. I know what I'm telling you. So be careful to do just as I have told you to do. And there are several other instances in the book of Deuteronomy where this phrase, "be careful," is found. But there's one more I want to look at, and this time in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And we're just barely getting outside of Deuteronomy to look at this. Moses now has departed. He has now died on the mountain. Now Joshua is assuming the mantle of leadership. And God has these words for Joshua, who is now leading his people Israel. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And so there again, he says, you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. Take the book of the law that Moses had written in, all of the things that God had told him, meditate on it, and then be careful to do everything that is there. That was God's instructions to Joshua. Now, you may have noticed that all of these instances that we've looked at of "be careful" are uttered in the same general context, and that is the people of Israel as they are preparing to go to their promised land. They will enter that promised land in the book of Joshua, but all of this is getting them ready for it. And he's saying, you can have a better life if you'll follow what I say. If you'll just keep my commandments, if you'll meditate on the things that I've given you, and if you are careful to do those things, you'll have a much better life. So that raises the question, how did they do? Did they do very well at that? Did they say, as they did sometimes, yes, we're going to do everything you say, Lord? Well, let me take you now to Ezekiel chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 18 through 21. This is much later in Israelite history. It is about time for the Babylonians to come and to destroy the city of Jerusalem, to destroy the temple, carry away most of the residents of the land of Judah. And why? Why is this happening? These are God's people. Well, we're told by Ezekiel why this is happening. And again, Ezekiel is speaking for the Lord. Listen to what he says in Ezekiel 20, beginning in verse 18. And I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor keep their rules, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules and keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. But the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful. They were not careful to obey my rules, by which, if a person does them, he shall live. They profaned my Sabbaths. So God tells us there, they could have had it so much better. It didn't have to come to this. If they had simply been careful to keep my rules that I had given them, my statutes, all of which were designed to give them a better life. How sad that they did not do what God had asked them to do. They were not careful. Well, of course, I think you know where we're going with this, and that is the idea of be careful is a principle for the ages. It's not just in that time when Israel was getting ready to enter the promised land. It's been all throughout the Bible. Even though that phrase may not always be found, that's certainly the idea throughout the Word of God. And I would just refer you again to a passage we often mention, Romans 15 and verse 4, because sometimes people say, well, wait a minute, you're in the Old Testament. What are we doing there? Why don't we spend more time in the New Testament? Well, Paul himself, who wrote much of the New Testament, tells us, Romans 15, 4, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So simply put, Paul says, these things are written so that we can study them, we can be instructed by them, and then we can have hope of a better life. And so that's what we're going to do now. We're going to look at just three different incidents in the Bible of people who were not careful with God's words and how we can learn from them, how they teach us to do better than they did. These are all very familiar incidents. You learn them in Sunday school, but again, it's always good to be reminded. Let's go back all the way to the Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve. Let's look at them. And we're going to see in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, God's instructions were clear, very clear. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, he had just said in the verse before, all the trees in the garden, they're yours to eat from. You know, whatever the fruit or the nuts may be, you're welcome to eat them. They're there for you. But then he says in verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Now, the phrase, be careful, is not found there. But don't you see it? I mean, if God is saying, if you eat of this tree, you're going to die. That would be like somebody telling their child, you know, this receptacle in the wall, it's there for a purpose. It's not there for your fingers or for metal objects that you find can fit in them, because that could be deadly. That's a warning. Be careful. Don't do those kinds of things. And so God says, I'm giving you a warning. I want you to enjoy this garden. It is a beautiful, lush garden. It will take care of all of your needs. But that one tree, stay away from it. Don't eat of it, because in the day you eat of it, you'll surely die. Paul reflected on that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, and he wants all of us to get the idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, where he writes to the Corinthians, I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, Your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You see the lesson there for us? Is that we can be deceived if we're not careful. God has laid out for us the life he wants us to live, and yet the world is pulling hard on us, trying to get us to go in this direction or that. And Paul says, the serpent deceived Eve, he can deceive us as well, and our minds will not be pure. Adam and Eve were not careful to obey the Lord. Another example we find, another very familiar example, is that of Uzzah, and I would include all Israel along with him. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13 for this account. 1 Chronicles chapter 13, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. It is what should have been a very joyous celebration, because now the Ark of the Covenant that has been away from Jerusalem for a long time is being brought back. It's being brought back to where it belongs. And so there's a lot of festivities. We're going to bring it back in style. We're going to construct a cart, and nothing has ever ridden on this cart before. We've got oxen pulling it. It's going to be great. And then we read this in 1 Chronicles 13, verses 9 and 10. When they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to take hold of the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. And David got angry with God, it goes on to say. I think we can understand in one way why David got angry. He was thinking, well, we were doing a good thing, God. Why did you do this to him? And yet later, when you go to chapter 15 of the same book, 1 Chronicles chapter 15, look at verse 13, because now they're going to do it the right way. The way God had instructed them all the way back in the days of Moses and Aaron. And here's what part of what David says on that occasion. 1 Chronicles 15 and verse 13. Because you did not carry it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us. Because we did not seek him according to the rule. Because we did not seek him according to the rule. Oh, rules, schmules, I mean, we're so tired of rules. Better not be, if they're God's rules, because God gave them to us because he loves us. He gives them to us for our good. And so David now learns, and David was part of the problem. He didn't object when they put that Ark of the Covenant on this cart with oxen pulling it, and neither did any of the others, it appears. Everybody was guilty, but Uzzah paid the price. They were not careful. They did not do things the way God had told them, and Uzzah paid the price. And then one other example, again, a very familiar one, is found in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, we have the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. They also are priests of God. They are serving in the temple. Now later we find it's very likely they may have been drunk as they went about their duties, because regulations were put in place very soon after this. But that doesn't take away the problem that was made here. It says in Leviticus 10 verses 1 and 2, now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it and laid incense on it and offered unauthorized fire. Your translation may say strange fire, but this is the idea that it's getting at. It's not what God had commanded. They offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. There it is. And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And again, you might say, well, Lord, that's pretty picky. I mean, they use fire. Fire is fire. Not if God specifies what kind of fire he wants and where it should come from. And that's certainly what it's saying there. They ignored what God had said, and therefore they paid the price. They were not careful. And you know, we face a similar mandate for our own time. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 is where it's stated, among other places. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, where Paul says this, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What does it mean to do everything by the name of the Lord Jesus? Does it mean that we say, the Lord Jesus, whatever we do? When we wake up in the morning, the Lord Jesus. When we take a bite of our breakfast, the Lord Jesus. No. It says by the authority of, because he has given that authority to us. In some places, God has given us very generic authority. In some places, it's very specific. And if it is specific, then that's what we've got to recognize and follow. It's not up to us to change the rules. We've got to be very careful about what God says. And so there again, you see an example way back in time, but one that is still very relevant to us today. The majority of these be careful statements in the Bible are statements to God's people as they prepare to cross over into the promised land. We're in a similar position, aren't we? Because we're in that getting ready phase of our existence, getting ready to cross over into what we hope will be our promised land. And God says, it'll happen. I've given you the way. I've given you my son. The lamb has been offered and atonement has been made. Just be careful to follow my will. Is it important that we follow the recipe when baking a cake? Why not 3 eggs? It says 1. 3 would make it even better. And you ladies may know a whole lot better than I do what would happen there. Or what about building a Lego set? I mean, really, all these instructions, come on. I can put these things together. Good luck. If you really want to build what's on the picture there, you need to follow the directions. Or filing our income taxes. Sorry, a little sensitive subject right now, I'm sure. We have to be careful with that. I think we all know, yeah. We got to be real careful because there can be heavy penalties and there can be even more severe things than that if we're not careful. In many areas of life, we've learned the importance of being careful. And though many in religion will say, you know, come on, loosen up. Sincerity is enough. After all, we're living in an age of grace. We've always lived in an age of grace. God's grace has been evident throughout history. And the fact that God has been gracious to us and giving us his son does not let us off the hook when he gives us directions, when he gives us instructions. We're to be careful, just like the people of God always have been. So tonight, I urge us to all think very carefully about how our lives are lived. Are we trying to find out what God's instructions are? And when we learn what they are we trying hard to follow those instructions? Be careful. God instructs us in that. If you're not a child of God, let tonight be the night you do that. Respond to God's call for you to follow his son by believing in him as God's son, by turning away from the world, repenting of it, of all the sins that are in it, by confessing him before others, and being buried in baptism for the forgiveness of your sins. And then follow him carefully. Take him seriously. And if there are areas in which you've not and you need to confess sin, then let's do so. Let's repent and pray for forgiveness. And if we can help you in any way, please come as we stand together and sing.
Have you been
to Jesus for the cleansing bath? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace? How are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood? Are they white as snow? Are you
The song before the Lord's Supper tonight will be 10:14. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
As you prepare your communion cup, a couple things happened this week at the house. I have one that's over a teenager and one that's soon there. And we have a lot of questions that come up. This week was Ash Wednesday and Palm Sunday, and why do we do communion the first day of every week? Run into a situation where that someone was talking about, we do it once a month because we don't want it to become repetitive. A simple look in the New Testament will show you, anytime the first day of the week Christians came together, they took of the Lord's Supper. They did this as an act of remembrance. They did this as an act of to show compassion, and did it so that everybody would know, this is what we do, this is who we are, this is Christians, and this is something what we're preparing for that we're going to do again one day. So as we start to take the Lord's Supper tonight, If anybody needs one, please raise your hand. We can get you one. And as we start to take this tonight, let's remember that, and let's reflect on ourselves during this time, if you'll pray with me. Father, we come to you thankful and hopeful for the things that we have coming our way as Christian people. We take this bread and we examine ourselves and we think, what does this bread represent? It represents the broken body of Christ who came down, took on an earthly body, endured things that we could never imagine so that we could one day be with you. Let us always remember the sacrifice. Let us always examine ourselves every week when we do this and make sure we're doing it for your will. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's pray for the cup. Father, we come again. This cup symbolizes the blood that was spilled for us, the blood that helps wash our sins away and helps us to one day take this memorial feast again with you in heaven. Let us always remember that. Let us never forget the sacrifice that this means. And let us always do this in a pleasing way to you. In your name we pray, amen. This time we'll also have a prayer for the offering. Father, thank you so much for living in a country where we are overwhelmed with blessings. We have more than enough, and it's good to be able to give some of that back to the church so that we can use that money. The elders of this church and the people of this church can use it to shine a light in the community for you. Let us use it for that reason. Let us always show your light, and let us always show your love in everything we do. In your name we pray. Amen.
I do have a couple to add to our sick list. This was given to me asking for prayers for Brother Dennis Russell. He had a fall this morning, and he is currently in the hospital, and they're running some tests. So far, they have come up with that he has a broken rib. So let's keep him in our prayers. Also, Kurt Gerard, who is Caleb Gerard's father, was taken to the hospital Friday, and he's out of ICU and in a room now, and that's where Jenna and Caleb are tonight. They're up there with him. And also, let's remember Brother Carey's family as they prepare to say goodbye to their loved one this week. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day you've given us and every day. It's truly just an amazing gift to be alive. Heavenly Father, we pray for these on our sick list. Brother Dennis has been mentioned that you would guide the doctors and get him back home as quickly as possible and as painless as possible. Pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd guide the physicians as they deal with Caleb's dad, that they would improve his health, restore it to him, and he could go back home. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for Brother Carey's family, that though their hearts are heavy as they prepare to say goodbye to their loved one this week, that though they're sad, that they would draw comfort from your word and realize the paradise that Brother Carey's in. And Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the time that you allowed us to have with him. It's your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If there's no other announcements, you're allowed to go into the week and be careful. And we'll see you Wednesday.